I'm Annie from Chastity Belt, and you're listening to Will's Band of the Week.
Wow.
Did I nail it?
Yeah, I nailed it.
You totally killed it.
This is Will's Band of the Week for April 7th, 2024. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with David, back from the Brooklyn Bureau.
Here I am.
The hotbed
That's
of
pretty good, sorry.
The hotbed of indie rock stardom. Right there, right in the center, the epicenter.
It is the epicenter. There's so many things going on here that I missed completely. You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, pretty great. Although we know Austin was the hotbed of indie rock stardom for a few days last month.
Yes.
But it never stops in New York, right? It just never stops.
Never stops. In fact, They're Getting a Body of Water was just here, but I missed them.
I'm wondering what a full gig of that band would be like compared to the little bits that I saw.
Someday yeah. I will find that out.
Yeah. All right. Well, here we are. We're settling back into lots of good releases coming out. And there's just so many that, I mean, even we had a hard time deciding this week what are we going to talk about because there's just too many things. And then you pointed out about how many things are coming out this month. And I just got a promo download of an album coming out the first week of May. And I felt very privileged. Somehow I was on the promoter's email list. Uh-huh. So that was fun. I felt kind of privileged.
That's what happens when you're hanging out with band managers.
Right, exactly. Now that we met up with Jonathan, he should be sending us advanced copies of like everything, right? Through
That's
his
right.
connections. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Well, we've got good music as usual. We've got, I know you've got at least one live report. God, do I have any live reports? I don't think I saw anything since my last live report. I guess my last live thing I saw was Red Pants.
You saw Red Pants, yes.
Right. And I've got another one coming up in a week that's going to be super fun that I'm looking forward to reporting on. But in the meantime, so last week or maybe even the week before, I neglected a death of the week. And I thought, this is one that we probably need to cover. So here we go.
And now it's time for the death of the week.
Eric Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
That's a significant death of the week. You know about Eric Carmen? Were you an Eric Carmen fan at all?
The name sounds familiar, and when you mention whatever his biggest hit was, it will probably come to me.
The Raspberries.
Oh, okay.
Eric Carmen was the singer and I think primary songwriter for this band called The Raspberries. And looking it up, I had forgotten, I probably knew this, I must have known this at some point, but they sound like Brit pop to me. Like, it's almost bubblegum pop, but it sounds like it comes from England. But they were from Cleveland, Ohio, the Raspberries. And they had a relatively short run with some really big hits that were like AM radio hits. And when I was a little kid, they were like some of my favorite songs. So it was kind of fun going back. And I think they got etched into my brain, so like sort of permanently. but it's kind of bubblegum pop, but I think it's pretty good for the genre. And so, I think their biggest hit was a song called "Go All the Way." That's not really my favorite one. There's two other ones that I wanted to highlight a little bit here, and they're. The lyrics are very bubblegum, too. You know, there's Go All the Way, and then the song called I Want to Be With You. Pretty basic in terms of lyrics, but let's listen to a little bit of that one. The Raspberries. I guess it sounds like a 60s Beatles song kind of too, doesn't it?
Yeah, very much so. For some reason, I think of them in the same category as Bad Company.
Bad
same
Company.
Same period. Same Beatles-esque kind of thing.
Yep. I think of Bad Company as being a little more hard rock, but
a little more, yeah,
still contemporaries. More yeah. Yep. All right. And one more, which was like super sappy ballad, but when I was like 11 years old, I thought this was fantastic. when I listen to it now, yeah, it's still pretty darn catchy. This is called Let's Pretend.
I can't sleep nights wishing you were here beside me. Can't help feeling that's the way it ought to be. You know we could run away, but I couldn't bear to hear the things they'd say.
There you go. That's from the Raspberries album called Fresh Raspberries from 1972.
Uh-huh.
That's over 50 years ago. And Eric Carmen, R.I.P.
Uh-huh.
From Cleveland, Ohio.
Only 75.
Yep. Pretty young, actually. But kind of a legend. He had a solo career, and he had some kind of real sappy stuff that wasn't that great. Then there was some other big hit song that he wrote. I can't remember what it was, but that somebody else performed. So he kind of knew. Maybe he had a little Hall and Oates in him, like he knew the formula, you know. Because some the songs are a little bit similar, but yeah, pretty cool. All right, I hope we've done Eric Carmen justice. And now to the real excitement.
Yes.
From the hotbed of indie rock stardom, David has a live report for us. Sprints.
Sprints were one of those Irish bands that we were hoping to see. There were about five or six of them, and I think we missed them all.
Yeah, well, most of them canceled. They canceled all the Irish bands pretty much canceled their official gigs because of the whole protest. And then, but some of them played unofficial gigs, but we never caught Sprints.
Right. So Sprints did have one gig at Lazarus Brewing and another one somewhere else. And Mike, friend of the pod, I believe caught both of those gigs because I think he posted video from both of them. Certainly from Lazarus, he did, and it looked really amazing. He was very high on them. So high that he got tickets to see them in Brooklyn. I don't know, 2 weeks ago or whenever that was. And then he got sick, wasn't feeling well, couldn't make it. So I went in his stead. I represented him, I hope, as well as I could, at Elsewhere in the small room at Elsewhere, which I'd never been in before. I've only been in the big hall. This is like a 200-person tops little room that they have. It's really great. And they were fabulous. What kind of, they were very wild. The crowd was very wild. Everyone, it was a two-night gig. I think a lot of people were there for both nights, and it was a scene.
Cool.
It was definitely a scene. So highly recommended, and big thank you to Mike for allowing me to make up for a missed band.
Yep. And
there's only about 20 others that I put on my list of
right.
wish I'd seen.
When's Asimov going to come through Brooklyn? We have to see
They're
them.
On the list. They're
oh,
on the
man.
List.
Yeah. All the way from Guatemala for one gig.
That's right.
Yep.
Well, Sprints came all the way from Dublin for two gigs, although yep. they didn't plan it
True.
That way.
Right. Right. Yep. All right. Very cool. I'm sure you've got more coming up, right?
Well, I actually am going to go see Freako.
Oh, great.
Because it's all your fault. You're the one that introduced me to Freako. I didn't even know. I didn't know they were going to be in Austin because they weren't official.
Right.
And I'm going to see them even though they are opening for another band that I never heard of. But I figure, why miss the chance to see Freako?
Hopefully it's not at Madison Square Garden.
No, it's a small venue. I mean, they're opening. It's, you know, it's a small band opening for another small band, but they won't have, you know, they'll play whatever, seven songs, eight songs.
Right. Yep. It should still be good, though. Yeah.
If they played their whole album, it would still be a short set, because you just mentioned to me that it was, what, 30, 32 minutes
it's,
or something?
It's 36, but there 36 are like
minutes. So
three ballads on there that they, I would love to see a full set where they're forced to play some of the ballads.
Yeah.
I think they're really good.
They could do the whole record and still just be an opener. So that would be
good.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Well, cool. Very good. Very good. We'll look forward to that report.
So we have the full complement of three bands to talk about.
We do. Yep.
I don't know who's first.
Well, we do have, I guess we have a podcast veteran band, so maybe we should give them first billing.
Absolutely.
And that is Chastity Belt. And, you know, I'm still all in on Chastity Belt. Whenever they put out an album out, I listen to it. And this one's, I think this one's a little better than the last one. I think it's got a little bit more, the last one's so kind of slow that started to drag a little bit. This, they've picked it up a little bit. They're never going to be a band that plays fast songs, you know. But I think they have a pretty good vibe on this album. And whenever you read about them, they always talk about how they're really good friends and how they, I don't know, they just went to some, hung out at this recording studio for like a week or something and said, we have to write an album, so let's do it. So, apparently they don't all live in the same place anymore. They're originally...
Yeah, they started out in, was it Portland or Seattle?
I think Seattle. Or was it Olympia? I don't know. Probably Seattle.
Right, and then now there's been some movement, so they're not all in the same place.
Right, so they have to. They just had to get together and say we're doing an album, and yeah, pretty cool. I'm glad they did it.
So the classic Chastity Belt album, of course, is the one two records before this,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which is called I used to spend so much time alone. Is that?
I think that's what it is. Yeah. Yep.
That one is just absolutely straight banging all the way through. I mean, it's just amazing. It's a classic.
Yep.
Like you say, the one after is not couldn't really reach that level, but it was good. And I think this one, I think we're on the upswing here.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. Yeah. So I hope they keep on. Hopefully their tour will be successful, so that they kind of motivates them to keep going. There's been some Julia Shapiro solo stuff,
uh-huh.
and maybe, I don't know if one or two of the others have done some side projects, but Julia Shapiro was sort of the singer, but now they divide up the vocals a little bit more than they used to. And it all uh-huh. works pretty well, and I'm not really able to tell who's singing on all of them, but probably if I did proper music journalism, I would know who sings every track, but I don't. So
that's
all right. Let's start with number 9, I-90 Bridge.
Okay.
Chastity Belt. The new album is called Live, Laugh, Love.
Which is a great title, and it also has a great cover. The cover is a depiction of one of those gas station figures that are blown up with a fan and they wave their arms around.
Right.
I don't know what you call those things.
Yeah.
But it's a very wacky looking cover and a very wacky looking title, considering that it's Chastity Belt, which is always struck me as a very serious kind of...
Right.
Yeah, not live, laugh, love. More like I used to spend so much time alone.
Brood.
Brooding, maybe seriously depressed, contemplative.
Yep.
Yeah, not live, laugh, love.
Yep.
So, if I had to pick...
Which you do.
I think the one that the real standout is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is Chemtrails number 6. But I had this playing sort of on repeat, and I was starting to go more for number 4, which is also very good. So I don't know. What do you think I should go with?
Well, I think Chemtrails is kind of a, I don't know, might have even been a single. So if you want to be sort of cool and be more deep cut, then go with number 4.
All right, we'll go with number 4. It's cool.
City.
chasing that same feeling, but it starts fading. Seattle seems so different.
Chastity Belt.
You know, it's interesting because for such a young band and a band that's not all that famous, they have such a distinctive sound. I think that I would recognize a song of theirs if you just played it and didn't tell me. I mean, it's just so, their sound is just so Chastity Belt. It's
right.
It's not like anybody else. It has this kind of almost slow moving kind of feeling to it. As you were saying, there aren't that many fast songs. They just kind of make their way in a kind of a purposeful way, kind of chug along, and then the voices come in. It's just very recognizable.
Yeah, totally. All right. After I encourage you to play a deep cut, I'm going to play an undeep cut. Number one. It's just a really solid example of what they can do. I think it's a really great opening track, so let's play it. It's called Hollow. There you go, Chastity Belt, the album Live, Laugh, Love. And I think they are more kind of just, you know, having fun as friends. Then you know, they start playing music and they get serious, you know. And then I remember seeing them. My wife and I went to see them a few years ago, and they were at the restaurant down the block from the venue when we were eating there. And they're just hanging out, you know. And I think a couple of their parents might have been there, and it's just kind of like just a gathering of people. It's kind of like when you're in Austin, you just realize all these bands are just a bunch of nice people. And so, you know, kind of just having seen them out, and then when I read about them, it's always about their friendship and stuff like that. It's cool. Didn't Nicholas meet one of their moms or something? Or
I was going to say, wasn't there a story where
there was Nicholas a Nicholas story?
Yeah, he was in a bar and the moms were there.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great.
But, you know, that was a few years ago. I don't think at the ages they are now that the moms
they probably don't go to their gigs. Yeah. Yep.
But back then, back then it might have been something that they really needed.
Yeah. All right. It's a worthy addition to the Chastity Belt catalog. So.
And they are touring, so yeah, catch them if they're, I don't know if they're, where are they coming to? Chicago? Milwaukee?
They're not coming here. They're not coming closer than Chicago, I don't think. So the timing on this tour didn't look too good, unless they expand the tour. They're going to be in Portland, so maybe Reese will go see them. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how big of a fan he is. I think he likes them. Maybe he'll go. So
yeah, get some of that Pacific Northwest solidarity going, you know?
Exactly. Yep, totally. All right, we're one for one, approaching the $0 line already. And now, David has a band from, let's see, where are they from? Somewhere in England, right?
They are from Liverpool.
Liverpool. So that's a cool place to be from. And they're called Crawlers. I remember them being on the list in Austin last year, but I did not see them. But you said you did, right?
They were at the brewery, yes. They were at Lazarus Brewery last year. Maybe a couple of other places, but that's where I caught them.
Cool. Man, those people at Lazarus, the Music for Listeners guys and the Paste people, man, they're the tastemakers, aren't they? The only thing that would be better if there's a Will's Band of the Week unofficial showcase. We just need to find a bar, right? We need to find a cool bar and tell them we'll curate. We'll find cool bands for them, right?
You're right. We can get Marco to help us out with bringing bands over from
Rotterdam,
Northern Europe.
Yep, that's right. He can expand it beyond just Rotterdam, I guess.
Yes.
Although Rotterdam's doing pretty well.
That's a great idea. We just have to find a bar that doesn't already have a schedule.
Yeah, I didn't see anything.
It doesn't have to be a bar. It could be, you know, a taco place.
There was nothing that I saw this year at Try Hard Coffee, which is,
oh, there you go.
They've got a super cool patio in the back. So maybe we'll contact those people. Come on, let's do it. First band, of course, is going to be Red Pants. We'll fly Jason out there and Elsa, all expenses paid, you know, because we're going to do it right. Our showcase will just be top-notch. All right, back to Crawlers. So you told me about this. I'm like, okay, I'll listen to it. And, God, I had a really busy week, and this album is an hour and 18 minutes. Although,
it is a biggie.
The last four tracks are just alternate or acoustic versions or something.
They're repeats.
So maybe I don't have that great of an excuse, but I just barely did it justice, I think. It's enough that I found like three tracks I could play. So that's respectable, I think. So you were saying in this album just came out this year. Did they have like an EP or two before? They must have.
I think they did have an EP, but when I saw them, there's only one song that they had that's shown up on this album, which was kind of a minor hit that they had before that gig last year. I didn't realize they didn't have a full album out, and then suddenly this appeared, and it's very full, as you said. It's 19 tracks, even though four are repeats, but it's a double album. So I just thought it was absolutely great. I mean, they were live. They were absolutely amazing, and they were putting on like basically an arena level show in terms of how much their lead singer was belting out, and they're playing to an audience of like 20 people sitting at picnic tables. It was the craziest thing you've ever seen. But it worked, and I'm sure it works much better in I've seen some videos, so I know that it works much better in larger, sweatier venues than that. So, and I just think the record is great. Only a couple of the songs are familiar to me, but now I think I know them all. So,
all right. So, what are we going to start with?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see. Wait, I got to get the track list up here. So many possibilities. I mean, the sort of hit anthem that they had to begin with that was in existence before this record is called "Come Over Again," which is great. The song after that is even better in some ways. They have a song called "Would You Come to My Funeral," which is just as good as it sounds. So I don't know. What should I pick? How about... let's try Kills Me to Be Kind, number 8.
I woke up alone and I four times, but I still felt alone. I can't tell you, I'm not thinking of you anymore. I traveled 6 hours for the sake of distraction. Go more into you in my own self-compassion. I know it would be easier just to settle.
Crawlers, and the album is called The Mess We Seem to Make.
The lead singer is Holly Minto, highly theatrical. Actually, they're pretty similar to Sprints in a way. They've got a lead singer who is just absolutely on fire on stage. And although Sprints, I'm trying to remember what the makeup of Sprints is. I think there's one guy in Sprints. There is one guy in Crawlers. He's the drummer. But other than that, it's an all-female group.
Listening to this album, if I didn't know where they were from, I think I would have guessed Ireland, just because they have some of that vibe of some of the recent bands that we've been listening to from Ireland. All right. Well, you sort of already previewed my pick, but the one that kind of caught my ear as I was going through this was... Number five, Would You Come to My Funeral? Let's play that one.
Would you come to my funeral in the morning? Me, you never knew. Just cause we loved each other once. Think one night I wake up next to you. Be mad if I did or didn't. Think it's old, at least the effort counts. I
Crawlers.
I'm trying to decide what I should pick for my second pick.
Yeah, that's it's a tough choice when you have a long album like this.
Why don't we try the third track, Hit It Again.
It's been a while since I last checked my bank. Reckless overspending feels better now. I've drank a childhood spent living in locked bathrooms. Mornings never mornings, always mid afternoons. I know I'm gonna cry when I make it home, 'cause drugs aren't fun.
That's Crawlers. The album is The Mess We Seem to Make.
Uh-huh. So you will not be surprised to learn that the song that that they kind of rouse up the crowd to, that the crowd seems to know on their UK gigs, and that they also played in Austin, became a viral hit. Gee, how did that happen? On TikTok.
Does that mean there was like a 20-second segment of it, and then people went crazy or something? I don't quite understand TikTok.
There are some TikToks that are fairly long that are more like, I mean, the ones that I watch are people talking about politics or history or whatever, but they can go on for 3 or 4 minutes. Hmm. So I guess they could have a full song on there.
Huh.
Anyway, they went viral with that.
And so, being on TikTok was more influential than playing at Lazarus Brewing with the picnic tables?
Apparently,
to me, that's cooler, but yeah.
I'll also look that up and see exactly what it was that the... sometimes it's just, something else is happening and the music happens to be a track, by a new band, and then that becomes, a thing, even though the actual TikTok isn't really about that.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, I've never really done TikTok at all, but
I've gotten into it, but as I say, more not really on the music side. Although actually, I follow some people who do very short things about new music. Like here's 5 bands that I'm listening to right now. Boom, 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 and then they're off.
Yeah,
they don't play the music. They just flash the album covers and say, "This is cool," or "This band's on tour right now," or whatever. Yeah.
Well,
I do follow a few of those people.
The formula, obviously, once it's determined that it works, it gets copied. So there's a thing called Reels on Facebook.
Right.
And I don't really use Facebook a whole lot, but every once in a while I'm on there and there'll be this thing where it says Reels, and it's like a lot of times it's a cat video or something. But I've talked about this. It's funny what it thinks that I want to watch. Like, so a lot of cat videos, and I like cat videos, so how can you not like cat videos? But there's also, like, For some reason, it thinks I love car crashes, so I get car crashes all the time. And then it thinks I love airplanes taking off and landing, so I get those all the time.
That is very strange. Instagram knows that I'm searching, that I'm interested in watching people create vegan recipes, even though I'm not vegan, but you know, vegetarian recipes, certainly. A lot of them are vegan, and so it just serves up more and more of them to me. And some of them are really good. So obviously I watch those, and then it sends me even more. Pretty soon my whole feed is going to be recipes.
Right. That's going to be it. It'll take over for the music. You won't have music anymore, just all vegan recipes.
Exactly.
Okay. Did we do crawlers justice is the question.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I've been looking to see if they're coming back to North America, but they don't have anything listed for 2024, so.
Those music.
I want to see them. I'm going to have to head over to the UK or Ireland.
Yep. Those music for listeners guys, they find bands before. This is a year ago. A year before the album even came out, they had them playing
that's what's amazing.
On the patio back there. That's pretty great. Pretty great. Okay, we have one more. Didn't you introduce this band to me? I think you did. This is a band with a weird name. Fan Club Wallet. All no spaces in there.
I'll take credit. I mean, I didn't realize I did, but I'll take credit.
It sort of
anyway.
Seems like you did, but I'm not sure. I remember another. People are going to hate us. We keep telling stories about Austin. Oh, they think they're cool and went to Austin.
I know.
But whatever.
But can't avoid it.
But they were playing in Austin either a year or 2 years ago. Probably a year ago.
It was 2 years ago.
Was it 2 years ago? Okay. Yeah. And I remember. They weren't really on my priority list, but they were kind of a curiosity. I think they were like on my list, but I didn't listen to them much or whatever. But then I was walking through the Swan Dive, classic, aptly named dive, kind of dive bar, you know. And and they were playing, and I was like, "Hey, this is pretty good. I kind of like this." So they made a good impression. So it's interesting because this album, if you go on Bandcamp, well, it's actually just an EP. But if you go on Bandcamp, it says. Our first release as a full band. Our first EP as a full band, it says.
Uh-huh.
So this has been the solo project of Hannah Judge from Ottawa, Ontario. Not quite next door to Anurag, but still in Ontario. So that's cool. Not that many bands from Ottawa, really.
Yeah, I had seen them. I don't know if I knew anything about them, but I saw them that year. They were playing indoors at Cheer Up Charlie's, and I was like, "Oh, this is a weird band with a weird name," and I was just blown away. It was so great.
Maybe that's when you told me about them.
It might have been.
Yeah. So interestingly, and you know, whether it's just the recording or whatever. It kind of does sound like this sounds more like a cohesive full band, I think, than earlier stuff, and it's pretty good, pretty solid.
When you told me there was a new Fan Club Wallet, and I looked it up and I realized that it was a 5-song EP, I thought, well, that's nothing. I mean, what are we going to waste our time talking about a 5-song EP? And then I listened to it, and every single song is great. It does not have a weak moment. And I thought, well, this is a really easy call. It's like perfect.
Yeah, very perfect.
What is it? 14 minutes or something?
So they're
12 minutes. 12 minutes.
There's no song over 3 minutes long. Yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah, very very straightforward, straight into the point.
Straight to the point. Yes.
It has an interesting title called "Our Bodies Paint Traffic Lines,"
which is also the first song.
Yeah. So what should we play?
I would, like I say, it's like, it doesn't matter because they're all so great.
We need a random number generator for one through five.
You can do random, yeah. I'm serious. We're gonna do most of the record anyway because if we pick 3 out of 5, you know.
60% of it, yeah.
Yes.
Well, okay, here's an easy one. Pick track 2 because even on an EP, track 2 is going to be good, right?
It is good, yes.
Complex Weather.
Complex Weather.
It's Fan Club Wallet from the new EP, Our Bodies Paint Traffic Lines. Yeah, totally solid. Since I made such a brilliant pick for my first pick, I'll give you the next two. How's that for a deal?
Well, if you want to. You know, Spotify is telling me that there was an album in 2022, like a full album, although it's, again, their songs are so tight that it was only 30 minutes, but I guess they did, I don't know, they did have a full record out. You say they're talking about this as their first EP with a full band, because the other one wasn't an EP, it was an LP.
Yeah, that'd be cheating, though, if they said that. It must have still been like a Hannah Judge solo project.
I guess so. Yeah.
Right?
So
you got to think.
So when she was at Cherub Charlie's, she explained the band name, which was that when she was, I don't know, 8 years old, 10, 12 years, I don't know, she had a, are you ready for this, Dennis the Menace fan club wallet. I guess it was a wallet with Dennis the Menace on it.
All right.
She lost it, and it was returned to her, I think, by a store owner. She left it in a store. Anyway, it was something that she was very attached to.
I think...
Hence the name, Fan Club Wallet.
I think you told us that story before. That's just in the back of my head, and that totally makes sense. So then you're like, okay, the name's legit, right? There's a story behind it.
Yeah.
It's not just somebody came up with random words and combined them.
Right, which is what every other band in the universe is doing right now.
That's why you assume they probably did that, yeah. All right, what are we going to play next?
Well, I think the next one is good.
That would be number three.
Pictures of her. Picture of her.
Let's do it. Fan Club Wallet, and I'd say the full band is making a good impression.
Definitely. Oh, and I saw them 2 years ago. There were four or five band members. So
yeah.
it was a full band then.
It was at least four.
Personnel may have changed. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe she just decided to give them full band title credit or whatever. I think the EP says it was co-written by everybody. So full band in that sense. Very good. I hope they keep on rocking. Maybe we'll get a full album. And this is good. Solid stuff. So one more track. We're going to play 60% of the songs on the EP. So what do you think?
Well, what would you pick? I would probably pick the last track, but what would you pick?
Either four or five. Yeah, let's go with five.
Okay.
Band Like That.
So it turns out, I'm looking at their Instagram, it turns out that was their first, the first single of this long EP they have here. And the second single was one of the songs we didn't play, which was Easy.
Yeah, that one has the...
So we missed it.
That one has a little star next to it on my streaming thing. So that must mean they've designated that. So we didn't play it, so people can check it out. Our Bodies Paint Traffic Lines is the name of the album by Fan Club Wallet, or the EP, I should say. And, yeah, I think they've got a good future. That's very, very cool.
Definitely. So we've covered Canada, UK, and Ireland. Oh, sorry. Ireland was the live report. Canada, UK, and Pacific Northwest.
Right. Exactly. So pretty good. Pretty good geographic diversity.
That's right. No, right? Australians, though. We're falling down on our Australian quotient. We won't get that grant from the Australian National Travel Board or Culture Board, whatever, if we don't keep mentioning bands from Melbourne.
Exactly. You were saying that the band High School has something coming out? I couldn't find that.
Yes.
Is that, that's like, that's kind of like, it's not on, there's no advance kind of thing out there, so... You must have done a deep dive into music journalism to find that.
I just did a search for April music releases, and it definitely said High School in one word, so we know it's them.
Did you know, I found a little trivia when I was looking into them, that the woman who plays the synthesizer, that kind of stands in the back, she is the sister of one of the other guys, but I couldn't figure out which one. So there's a brother sister in there.
Okay.
Anyway. Yeah, not that anyone listening to this cares about that, but I think it's interesting.
So. No, but now I'm searching to see if I was misunderstood the calendar here.
All right. While you're finding that,
I think it was late in April. Chanel Beads. That was a recommendation by Marco, our friend Marco, and late in April. Nope. Maybe I imagined it. Is it possible? Oh, or maybe it was in May.
Whenever it comes out, we'll be right on it, right?
Definitely.
All right, here we go.
Well, that's it. We're finished, right?
You would think so, wouldn't you?
It's the bonus song of the week. It's the bonus song of the week.
There's always that extra bonus to keep everybody listening.
Well, that's why we call it the bonus song of the week.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it's still $0, which is great, because the bonus could cost, we could charge like 50 cents for it if you want the version of the podcast that has the bonus song on it. But we don't do that. We just make it, it's a complete free bonus.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
All right. So early on, when we started, I think it was before we started recording, you said you needed a bonus song, and then it took you like 20 seconds to think of one.
Well, I thought of a band, is what I did. So here's the story. You like this band Umbrellas.
Oh, yeah, I love the Umbrellas.
So
yeah.
I noticed that Umbrellas is actually playing in my neighborhood. Not sure when it is. I think it's like June or something like that. They're playing at a bar in the neighborhood. And to sweeten the deal, I was looking to see who was opening, and the opener is a band called Lightheaded. So I was listening to Lightheaded, and they sounded really good. Now, the thing is, on my streaming service here, they actually list two bands called Lightheaded.
I'm seeing that right now.
With no distinction in the spelling or anything else. So I don't. That's really weird. But it's the one with only 4,000 monthly listeners, because they're a local Brooklyn band and they're just starting out. So that's the story with Lightheaded. So I just started listening to their I don't think they have an EP out. Anyway, song by Lightheaded. It's called Mercury Girl from their 2023 EP.
If it's the same band, they have an album coming out May 17th.
Oh, there you go.
Called Combustible Gems.
Maybe that's why they're touring with Umbrellas.
And they're, oh yeah, because they're on Slumberland Records, which is total indie rock cred. Total indie rock cred.
So. Plot thickens.
Okay, you need to give me that song title again so I can look it up.
Mercury Girl.
Here we go.
Doesn't that sound great?
Oh, yeah. Lightheaded. Sounds like a really good pairing for the Umbrellas. So I suggest that you attend that gig.
And they get extra points because they're on Slumberland, but they're not from the Bay Area. They're
right.
They're from this area.
They're branching out, Slumberland people.
Sure.
Which, wow, what a great label. So many great bands. And now Meritorio is starting to like just be awesome. Once they got Jason... and Red Pants, they just like it just vaulted them, and now they just keep putting out cool album after cool album. So
it's a Red Pants factor.
Yep.
Well, I like all the Bay Area people, but I'm just annoyed by the fact that the Reds, Pinks, and Purples will not come to the New York area.
Like, why would they not? I mean, come on, just stop by, Glenn. Do it. David will be there. Well,
I don't know why. All right, I have bonus news for you. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Bonus news. April 19th, we have something coming out from high school. It's not an LP. It's an EP, and it's called Accelerator.
Okay. That is something to look forward to.
Definitely.
Very fun. I started to listen to some of their older stuff, and just their whole catalog is really consistent and really, really solid, like really in the spirit of the live show that we saw. So yeah, people check that out. High school, one word.
High school, one word.
Yep. We could rag on them for needing to have a live drummer, but they do pretty well with a drum machine. They could do a battle of the drum machines with who's that other band with the drum machine? You know, you know.
No, which one is that?
It's one of Craig's favorite bands, you know.
Nation of Language.
Yes, Nation of Language. They could battle out with high school, the battle of drum machines. So that's
of
a gig that
has so many concerts and is so popular. You would think they could afford to, you know, hire a real drummer.
Yeah, they could. It's a matter of principle. They don't want to. So okay. I've got I'm gonna take it back to the 80s. Since we've been so much on the cutting edge. And I realized that I missed a Death of the Week. Pretty sure. It would be kind of embarrassing if maybe I did talk about this as a Death of the Week 2 years ago, but I don't think I did. In the mid-80s, I was really into this band called Micro Disney from Ireland. And did you ever hear of Micro Disney?
No.
They weren't very big. They weren't very big, but there was a local... I was living in Minneapolis, and there was a local... There was this radio station that you could only get on cable. Like, if you had cable TV or something, you could get the radio station. I don't know, some weird... They called it cable radio. In fact, I think it was called K-A-B-L, cable radio. And they were into this band called Micro Disney, and I got into them from listening to that. And the guy... It's a little bit of kind of a crooner, I guess. You know, the vocals are kind of different, and I don't know. I got sold on them, and I really liked them for like a couple albums. I thought they were great. I think I read about them recently because one of the members came out with an album, who has another band now, but the singer was a guy named Cathal Coughlin. Sounds very Irish, doesn't it? I learned that he died 2 years ago. And he was only, I think he was only 61. So I don't know what the story is, but it was kind of sad. But so I thought, okay, as a tribute to Micro Disney, I'm going to play a song. Here, you can choose by song title. Should I play A Friend with a Big Mouth or This Liberal Love?
I like This Liberal Love.
All right, let's play that one. This is Micro Disney from the album called Everybody is Fantastic from 1983.
Here, so Coughlin had another band after that I have heard of, which is Fatima Mansions.
Right. And then the other guy, okay, we got to do our music journalism. Hold on.
And the other guy was in the High Llamas, which I've also heard of. But I don't think I've ever heard either one, but I've definitely heard of both of them.
Sean O'Hagan is the guy, the other guy. And he, he put something out recently. That might have been the High Llamas, but I'm not sure. So, okay, here we go. Micro Disney... And the song This Liberal Love. That's Micro Disney and the singer Cathal Coughlin, who died a couple of years ago, and I kind of missed it. So there you go. And if you're inclined to like that style at all, there are two albums that are really good. That one called Everybody is Fantastic, and there's another one, the one after that, called The Clock Comes Down the Stairs. And they're, it's kind of, I don't know, there's a little folky component, I guess, and kind of, I don't know. It is. That's just what it is.
So from what I read, they had some early support from a key person, which is John Peel.
Yeah.
Once you have that, you know, you're gonna go some distance in the UK.
Didn't really catch on in the U.S., but caught on pretty well in the U.K.
They were only on...
tells you that, you know, back in the day, the important thing was appealing to John Peel, and now the important thing is being on TikTok, so that just shows you how things have changed.
Right.
Probably not for the better, but there you go.
Okay, who's the cool guy now, though? The cool guy from England.
I don't know. There is one guy on, I think he's on Radio 1 or something.
Yeah,
the guy that... what's his name?
Craig told us about him when we saw Fontaine's DC in 2019, and he said that guy was there. Lamack? Is it Steve Lamack?
Uh-huh, that sounds right.
Yeah, Steve Lamack, right? He's like the closest thing now to the new John Peel, I think. So when Jeremiah and I went to that British Music Embassy thing last month, and we saw the band Humor, we walk up there, and so they had a big stage and a small stage. We're at the small stage, walk up there, and Steve Lamack just walks right up there, and he's introducing them. We're like, thank you for introducing. It was cool.
There you go.
We aren't cool, but every once in a while we run into people who are cool. So, you know, like Mike, Marco.
Oh, the other
Marco,
guy I was thinking of is Zane Lowe. Zane Lowe is a big Radio 1
DJ guy, influential guy.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Who will be the younger generation's cool guy when they get to be our age? You know? Is there anybody like that? I don't know. Could happen. They'll just think back on Will's Band of the Week and how cool we were, right? That's probably what they'll think.
I guess.
The 10 younger people who listen to us. But that's cool. Anybody who listens to us, we love it. It would be nice if we had more. We're so male-centric. I wish we had more female listeners. We have like a handful, probably.
And contributors.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That would just be so cool. Who are those cool women on TikTok that listen to music kind of like we do? Are they on TikTok?
Oh, Timorous Me? Yeah, they're they have a podcast now.
Right. It's got this wacky name to it. I've listened to it a couple times.
So Teacup Demagogues.
Teacup Demagogues. So did you hear that last podcast where they had a man on, and she said something like, "You're the only man that I know." And it was a British guy, and he was really funny, and he was great, you know. But I was like, oh, it's terrible. It's too, is segregated the right word? If it's all like all male? I don't know. We invite any and all women to listen to our podcast, but maybe we just are hopeless. I don't
Especially
know.
Especially the people from Teacup Demagogues.
Right.
Could have a crossover episode.
They wouldn't hate us, would they? They would think we're okay. They wouldn't think that we're like obnoxious mansplaining men or whatever.
I don't think so. I mean, they responded to me on Instagram, you know. So I messaged them to say you really should have a podcast, and look at that. They have a podcast now.
So it's because you told them to do it. You suggested, not told them, suggested, and they took your suggestion. So I think you deserve the credit.
I think it was a coincidence. I think they were getting ready to launch.
Ready to roll. But they probably have a lot more listeners than we do already, but that's okay. That's fine. No problem. We don't care. We won't take it personally. All right, let's get out of here before the listeners delete the podcast, which they probably have, most of them have done already. So thanks, David. You know, you are just like Jason. It's like if I just say, hey, I need somebody this week, you guys jump to the – it's just so great. You're like ready to rock and roll on command. We were going to have Anurag, and Anurag had a family matter he had to attend to, unfortunately. But we will get Anurag back. In fact, there's that recent release that kind of begs to have Anurag comment on it, right?
Yes, there's at least one release in the holding bin waiting for Anurag.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's going to have to jump on it.
Can't even be mentioned until we have Anurag here. So, all right, very good. Thanks, David. Stay in touch. Keep me informed of all the new releases that I miss, or go to Rosie Overdrive. It's my blog of the week, where they have probably it's insane. I can't believe that guy can possibly listen to so much music.
This is the guy who reviews one record every day.
He about every 3 days he puts out a post, and he highlights maybe between three and five bands, and then he says, here's another like 15. It's just like, what? It's crazy. And a lot of it's really good stuff. So it's fun to, and he doesn't limit himself to, you know, necessarily popular things. So it's a good resource. I recommend it. So, okay.
Our friend Marco puts out a list every few days of like 18 songs.
See, Marco he's so Instagram centric, right? I'm going to have to start looking at Instagram more. I haven't been a real.
Yeah, that's where he seems
to be. Instagram guy, yeah. Okay, well, I got to get on top of that because Marco's cool. Obviously has good taste.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Thanks, everybody. We will talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.